Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Back in here live on hour number 2 of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise with you here on a Football Friday. We have flipped the calendar over to the month of November. Teron Davenport comes up at the bottom of the hour as we will spend a majority of this hour talking all things NFL, the Titans and the Panthers coming up on Sunday in Carolina. And I think you and I have been on the same page all week on this one, that this just feels like Titans have won a few in a row. Carolina's coming off of an embarrassing loss to San Francisco. We know the Titans' offensive line is bad. The Panthers' defensive line is really good. I don't think you got to go to next level on this conversation with this game. I don't have a good feeling about the Titans this week. As good as I felt last week against the Bucks, I feel the opposite this week.
No, I think in general, I agree with you. Once you dive deeper into the matchups, there are plenty of places that you can see the Titans finding success. I think that, you know, Carolina's giving up a little bit more on the ground, certainly far worse than Tampa Bay was at stopping the run. So they're giving up some yards on the ground. So this could be a game that Derrick Henry finds some room to operate in the offensive line. I think Dean Pease will have success against Kyle Allen, disguising coverages and confusing a young quarterback who's inexperienced and not really the starter. So I think that, again, when you dive deeper into the matchups, you can find some areas where you like what the Titans can do in some matchups. But I'm with you, Nick. Like, in the NFL, where basically everybody's almost all even, when you get embarrassed and humbled, you generally bounce back with a pretty big showing, especially if you're at home. So it's not a good spot. It doesn't feel like a good spot in the schedule in how things have played out for the Tennessee Titans. So in general, I'm with you. A defense that creates a ton of pressure on the quarterback, really good in pass coverage, has Christian McCaffrey and a lot of weapons on offense. I like Carolina as well to play really well in this one. But again, there are some matchups when you start to look at the games within the game that you could argue, hey, this is a good situation for the Titans. So I think they've got a chance, but I think it's a tall ask to ask this team to go on the road and beat a team that is sort of emotionally ready for a bounce back.
Interesting to see the two quarterbacks this week. Tannehill, you're 2-0. First game, you looked really good. The second game, you did not look good until you needed a big-time drive. How do you do against a good defense this week? A lot of it predicated on what type of protection you get from your offensive line. But then also with Carolina, all of a sudden, you know, Kyle Allen, here comes this guy out of nowhere, right? Last year, he was on the street. He's undefeated. He hasn't thrown an interception. He gets demolished last week. Showed us why he might have been on the street last year, 3 interceptions. And now, does he feel pressured to make even more plays this week because Cam Newton's close to coming back? Like, that's what I wanted to, like, what is Kyle Allen thinking? Like, is he still fighting for his job? Because, let's face it, former MVP's ready to go.
I don't think he's fighting for a job. I think he understands that when Cam comes back, it's his job. But what he wants to do is just to win games as the backup. He understands that, you know, it might not be here, but it might be somewhere else. He's on an audition right now, maybe to continue to be the backup and maybe the starter after a while in Carolina if Cam gets hurt, you know, if Cam get hurt more, or he can be a starter somewhere else. You know, it's an audition for him. So I don't think he's worried about, you know, losing a quote-unquote starting job because it's not his job. If Cam is fully healthy, they're going to put Cam back in there. That's just the way it is, unless this team just goes on a tear and there's no reason to put Cam back in. But if Cam's healthy, then he's the quarterback. And I think Kyle Allen understands that part, and he knows as the backup, my job is to come in and win games while the starter gets healthy. Then when the starter comes back, then it's his job, and I continue to just, you know, be there for support. And if something happens, I come in again. So I don't think he's going to play no better or no worse based upon his thought pattern of, oh, I might get benched. No, he's just going to go out there. He has, again, he's going to be careful with the ball, but he has nothing to lose, really. Because either way, I think Cam's going to be the quarterback once he's fully healthy.
So we discussed this briefly yesterday. Christian McCaffrey, I mean, let's face it, the guy's right there in the mix for the MVP. If you're Dean Pease, you're the Titans defense. Is the game plan this week sell out to stop Christian McCaffrey, force others to beat you? Or is it, hey, Christian's going to get his, we just can't let the other guys get theirs?
Oh, I don't know what I mean.
Like, how do you game plan? Like, this is not just a wide receiver that, you know, is lined up wide, split left. I mean, this guy's used in every possible, you know, formation. He's in the slot. He catches passes, screens. He runs off tackle. He runs up the middle. He's like, you know, he's jack of all trades.
I mean, based, and I'm just looking at his metrics here. He ranks as a, on Pro Football Focus, his grade is an A, basically, on offense.
You better be.
He's an A runner. He's a B running the ball and an A receiving the ball. He's a C plus B blocking, pass blocking. He doesn't do much run blocking, so I don't even know why they have that in there. This guy, he's basically a created player. That's what he is. He's a Madden created player based upon these metrics. That's all he is. And
he's like 98 and
exactly,
everything.
It's just, it's unbelievable to see what he's doing in his last two seasons. He had 100 catches last year. He probably is on pace to have close to that this year. There's nothing I don't think there's much you can do to stop him. It's the old adage, if you can't, you know, you can only help, you can't stop him, you can only hope to contain him. Well, the only thing they can do is hope to contain him, not let him be a game wrecker. Just don't let him wreck the game for you. Don't end the game and look on a stat sheet and see, you know, he is the reason why you lost. That's what they don't want. The Tennessee Titans don't want Christian McCaffrey to be the reason they lost that game. Because if he's the reason they lost that game, well, Dean Pease didn't do a good enough job. Or the players didn't do a good enough job at knowing your assignments, alignment and assignment. Don't overreact to anything. Play your assignment. Play it honest. The only way he beats this team is if they do things that are not common of this defense, because they're that good. The only way you're going to beat the Tennessee Titans is if you methodically move the ball down the field. You don't make mistakes as an offense, and if the Tennessee Titans make mistakes as a defense, that's the only way you're going to beat that defense.
You mentioned Amani Hooker yesterday. So when we see Christian McCaffrey in the passing game, and it's man-to-man situations, we know as good as Jayon Brown is, that's a tough ask for Jayon Brown. Same with Byard. I know you mentioned Hooker. What about a guy like Kenny Vaccaro? Is Kenny Vaccaro a guy that you can match up in space with him?
No chance.
No chance.
No chance. Of the safeties, has the least ability of sort of man-up coverage in space, right? It doesn't mean he's not going to be a huge factor coming downhill to make tackles in the run game, right? Like, you need him coming downhill and being physical. In fact, you know, what it might mean is that he ends up maybe more on a tight end that he wouldn't normally be covering, right? Like, if you need Amani Hooker and Byard to play against McCaffrey more, than how you stopping Greg Olsen? And maybe you're going to need Kenny Vaccaro to play a different role than maybe he normally plays against Greg Olsen. So who knows? Dean Pease will have something, you know, planned. Now, the question is if you focus too much on McCaffrey, to your point, Nick, if you focus too much on McCaffrey, there are other people that can make plays. Curtis Samuel is sort of like a poor man's McCaffrey in what his skill set is. He can do stuff after the catch. He's sort of a slot receiver, but he also can play outside. He can run. He ran the football in college a little bit, so he's got a little bit of everything in his game too. He's been targeted a ton this year. Has not made a ton of catches. That we'll have to see what that looks like. So they've got some weapons. I just think Dean Pease can win this battle is not necessarily trying to cover Christian McCaffrey. I think it's confusing Kyle Allen. I think it's about how do we pre-snap, make sure that Kyle Allen has no clue what we're doing and that we're rotating these guys, we're disguising this coverage, we're blitzing this, we're rolling this coverage, you know, just be as complicated as possible. And I think that's where you can beat Kyle Allen, because as long as Kyle Allen doesn't know where to go with the football, then it may not matter if McCaffrey's open or not, right? Like if he reads it wrong and then McCaffrey gets open backside, but he's looking on the, you know, on the front side, maybe he never gets to the check down to McCaffrey or the third read to McCaffrey. I mean, I think that's the idea, is to make it as complicated as possible for Kyle Allen.
If I'm Dean Pease, I am playing three defensive backs at all time, maybe even four. Because
you mean safeties? Or?
No, defensive backs. I'm not. I mean, you have your regular safeties in there. I'm not playing with an extra safety. If Jackson can play, then you've done your homework on this team. And I'm making sure whenever I see this alignment that Jackson is on McCaffrey. You take him where whatever alignment we know he's going to be in the pass, he's going to be, you know, out in pass pro or whatnot, then Jackson, you have him.
Are you talking about three corners?
That's what I said.
Corners. You think so they're going to be a nickel all day?
So yeah, just be a nickel. I mean, yeah, just be a nickel all day. Because to me, McCaffrey is a receiver that knows how to run the. He's a receiver that can run the ball well between the tackles. That's just what he is. So if that's indeed the case, then I am putting a corner on him, a corner that I think can at least, you know, have the foot speed.
Yeah.
And the only guy that has the foot speed is Jackson. So whatever formation we believe he's going to get the ball as a receiver, then Jackson, it is your duty to cover this guy wherever he goes, because I don't think Logan Ryan can do it. I don't think Malcolm Butler can do it. The Carolina receivers don't pose that much of a threat, even though they do have potential. But I believe in my two defensive backs that they can cover these guys if indeed they're going to try to go that route at throwing the ball to the two receivers. So this would be a week where, Jackson, you need to earn your money and earn it big time.
Teron Davenport will join us at the bottom of the hour. Twisted Tea Half and Half is the hard iced tea with lemonade flavor. If you like lemonade, the Twisted Tea Half and Half is for you. It combines classic flavors of iced tea and lemonade with a little bit of a kick. Twisted Tea, with 5% alcohol by volume but zero carbonation, is a flavorful, refreshing alternative to premium light beer. And the folks at Twisted Tea are tailgating kings and queens. That's right, I said tailgating kings and queens. Check out their website, TwistedTea.com, where they teach you how to become a certified tailgating pro. TwistedTea.com, with recipes that include the donut burger with twisted iced tea icing, Twisted Tea bacon-wrapped hot dogs, and if you like citrus, how about the Twisted Tea citrus tailgate ribs? Check it all out today, TwistedTea.com. Nice, I like it. Little Katy Perry?
Yeah, you got it, Katy Perry.
Just checking.
What's up with Katy Perry? She hadn't made
She disappeared, didn't she?
Yeah, she hadn't made an album in a while.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, and you lack talent, you eventually run out of material, right?
I mean, she has other talents.
Yeah, exactly. But
a couple of them.
Jesus.
What?
Come on, man. We don't make those kind of jokes on this show.
Exactly. We don't do
that.
Oh,
wait a second.
We're grown-ups.
So, do you ever notice this? And this, like, we all have this in our group of friends or in a family, right? Where, like, one guy can, like, Nick can get away with that joke on the show. He can say it, and no one's going to care. My wife, my in-laws, they're all going to hear him make that joke, and they're going, oh, that was funny. That was good.
That's just Nick.
And then I make the joke. What the hell were you talking about?
Oh,
what
dude,
were you
come
doing,
on, man?
And everybody's got that one friend in the group that can just be completely bonkers around everybody and just totally gets away with it. Like my wife has their group of friends, and one of their friends, John, God love him, he is the most absurd human being I've ever met in my entire life.
My kind of guy.
And we will all go out with the wives as a big group together, and he just does the silliest, craziest, most nonsensical things, and like all the wives are like, oh, it's just John. Like they,
it's wacky John.
I would have divorce papers served to me so fast if I did the stuff that John does. And it's just like, why is it that some certain people can get away with that stuff and other people can't? It's crazy.
See what happened? We started with Katy Perry.
You make me this way, Nick.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I have that effect on people. I apologize.
I blame you entirely.
My wife blames me all the time, so you guys can fire away. Like I said, I will never be offended on this show. because what my wife gives to me, you guys could never top.
And I
the stuff she says to you,
yes,
makes us seem like choir boys.
Correct.
I feel 100% the same way.
I'll never call you fat, Nick.
I never say you have moves. Yeah, I never say you have moves.
I love and respect the three of you, and we get heated a lot, and we all have impassioned takes with each other all the time, but there's just nothing the three of you can say to me that's going to be any worse than what my wife says to me at home.
There you go.
It's called marriage.
Exactly.
It's called marriage.
Just like the old ad campaign. And here's a little public service announcement. Right?
Oh.
Remember the old drug campaign back in the 80s, Just Say No?
Don't bring that up.
Marriage. Just Say No.
This is your brain on marriage. This is your brain. This is your brain on marriage.
Any questions? Eggs. Well, don't question her.
Exactly.
Any questions?
Teron Davenport coming up in about 10 minutes. So AFC South this weekend, is there an angle? Obviously, Titans fans invested with what you got to do this week in Carolina, win the game, get to 5-4. But Indy at Pittsburgh, Texans at Jaguars, which is the London game this week.
That one's interesting.
Rooting interest that you need to be tracking if we're playing the AFC South race game.
Do you need Jacksonville to win or do you need Houston to win?
Well, we all agree that Indy should just keep winning, right? Didn't we come to that conclusion earlier this week when we did the match?
Well, you can control some of your own destiny with Houston because you play them twice.
Yeah, play them twice. Yeah,
but if they're four games ahead of you, like what's then it doesn't matter. So I don't know if it matters. Do you want a tie between Houston and Jacksonville?
Because when we were doing who's going to win the division, and we came to the conclusion this past week that if we were just going to give the Colts the division. It's the Titans and about four other teams competing for that last wild card.
With the Texans, probably.
Assuming the Bills get a wild card.
Right, and those two games then become huge. But in reality, what you want is for all of them to lose all the time, right? Like, you're rooting for all of them to lose. And so if we can somehow dumb the division down, for lack of a better phrase, to where 9-7 becomes a possibility that wins the division, that's the goal. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think the winner of the division is going to have 10 wins most likely, and if we can all hope, and Titans fans can hope that it's going to be just three teams at 9-7 at the end of the year. I mean, they can hope for that. It just doesn't feel like that's going to be possible.
Yeah, them. I mean, do you hope Indy lose? I mean, yeah. You hope everybody lose. I mean, everybody can't lose because Jacksonville plays Houston.
Tie, baby.
Yeah, you hope for a tie. So, but you have
a 10-10 tie with all the players getting hurt.
You have Houston twice the last three games of the season. So if you two guys are in a dead heat for second place, then those could be the two games that kind of swing the team one way or another. The problem is that they got to sweep somebody. They can't, split games between, and they've already lost to Jacksonville, and they've already lost to Indianapolis. So the best they can do is split.
They can still go 4-2.
Yeah, but they got to sweep Houston in order to even have an opportunity, I believe, to make the playoffs. Because 9-7 is not going to get them in the playoffs. They have to win 10 games to get in the playoffs. And 10 games is not good. 10 games might not win you your division,
That would be crazy.
10 games might not win you the division.
If you lose the tiebreakers, especially.
Exactly. So the Titans right now, 9-7 is not going to get them in the playoffs. I think they realize that the way the AFC is, and they've already lost to Buffalo. So they got to win 10 games. And now can they go on a streak? No matter what anybody else does, I don't think, no matter what anybody else does, unless teams just start falling completely off the map, no matter what anybody else does, the Tennessee Titans must win 10 games to get into the playoffs. So they control their own destiny moving forward. We don't like the destiny is already written. I get it. Yeah, I understand that.
I've already used it a few minutes
They ago. Control how their season – they are in more control of how their season ends than I think the other teams are in control of what the Titans might end up. Because if they win out, they make the playoffs. If they win 10 games, they make the playoffs. But if they go 9-7 for the fourth straight year, then for the fourth straight year, well, 3 out of 4 years, they would not make the playoffs.
And what's hard is they need to go 6-2 to then get to 10 wins, which means if you don't like the Carolina matchup this week and you're picking them to lose this week.
That's one game.
That's one of the two losses you got left. And oh, by the way, you still have the Chiefs and the Saints on the schedule with two games against the Texans and the Colts and the Jags.
And oh, by the way, Mahomes and Breeze will be back.
Yeah. Like,
it's tough.
So, I mean, this is one of those where, like, sure, it doesn't look like a good spot for the Titans. We've just laid that out, why we like the Carolina Panthers to play well in this situation. But if you're really being serious about a playoff run, this is one of those games where you have to – Dean Pease in the defense needs to go dominate Kyle Allen.
Is it?
And if you can do that, then you can give your offense a chance to maybe score some points.
Is it Houston, Saints Houston?
Yes.
That sounds right.
To me, and this is – if they're not in a position to win 10 games those last three games of the year
– Punt?
Just punt. Because my thing is, if you finish 9-7, you're going to be picking in the 20s again.
Yeah, you're stuck and in purgatory.
Exactly. It's like being 8-8.
There's a couple different purgatories.
It's like being 8-8. You're stuck in the middle pack. You can't get the guy that you really want unless you make trades to move up. And we know that they're going for a quarterback this year.
It is Texans.
And they're going to have to, but here's the thing, even if you finish 7-9, you still might have to trade up to get the guy you want if the guy you want is going to be a top 5 or 8 pick. You already have 4 wins, which means you're not going to be top 3 or 4.
But you're closer to that 10, 11, 12 than you are if you finish 9-7 once again. And then 9-7 to the fans feel like, here we go, Jeff Fisher again, 8-8, 9-7, 7-9. We're not getting over that hump. 4 years in a row, 9-7, 1 playoff. You're not getting over that hump. So
how many teams change quarterbacks and then go 9-7?
You're absolutely right.
Like, to be dealing with that sort of issue and to still finish 9-7 is sort of a compliment to the coaching staff to some degree. Now, we know within each game we've been very critical of Mike Vrabel and what he's done. I think rightly so. But if they were to go 9-7 and then we step back and we go, all right, they went 9-7 and they had to change quarterbacks after 6 games. Like, that's a pretty big statement, I think, on a coaching staff that at the end of this season we would say, well, they didn't have a quarterback. Mm. You know, at the end of the year we go, well, they didn't have a guy. You know, Tannehill made the offense better, but he's not the answer in long term, and Marcus didn't work. So if that's the case, then we have to give Vrabel more credit, right? Even though we're ripping on him every week for a terrible, questionable decision that he's making in the middle of a critical spot in the game, you do have to and the consistency is up and down, you know, last year and this year. Like, you still have to step back at the end of it and go, man, this guy won more games than he lost and didn't have a starting quarterback, really. Like, that at that point, how do you evaluate?
I mean,
what Vrabel's accomplished?
I think you evaluate it like this. And I think I said this prior to Tannehill being a quarterback. I said, if this is a 9-7 team with Marcus, it's a 9-7 team with Tannehill. And I remember saying that. So I'm not going to give Vrabel any kudos, even though, you know, I think.
But just should like you be 9-7 with those two quarterbacks?
I don't know. I mean, I thought they were going to win 10 games.
But I mean,
as the season started to go, I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe this is a 9-7. And if they change quarterbacks, to me, it's still a 9-7 team, regardless if Marcus or Tannehill is that quarterback at this point in time. So I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm just saying I'm not going to give him any more kudos for Tannehill being a quarterback and what he had to go through, as if, you know, no more kudos than if Marcus was the quarterback. I don't know.
And again, I don't have the answer either. I'm just asking the question. Like, if we all think Marcus is broken and terrible and bad and this and that or however the fans have described him, and, you know, we all think Tannehill's just kind of sort of the same guy, like you said, Derek. They should be the same team with Tannehill or with Marcus. But neither one of them is really the answer. Shouldn't we be giving the coaching staff and the team credit, the defense, whoever, more credit if they were to finish with 9 wins based on the idea that they do not have a franchise quarterback? Like, that's like Bill O'Brien winning the division with T.J. Yates.
You know
what I mean? Like, isn't it the same? Like, those guys are better than T.J. Yates.
Sure,
I get it.
Sure.
But, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, work it through mentally in my head, going, like, man, like, if we really think these guys are that bad, then we have to give them more credit for being competitive. But then again, you watch the games and you watch these decisions unfold and you go, Vrabel, what are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what, and, like, he doesn't have an explanation for it. Oh, I'm just a go for it kind of guy. Like, you don't, I don't know. I think
makes you wonder where they would be without Dean Pease in the defense.
100%. But it also makes you wonder, like, how good would this team be if they had one of the top 7 or 8 or 10 quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yep.
Right? Like, where would they be if they had an actual elite guy?
Teron Davenport, he's elite. That's why he joins us every week on Morning Drive, and he's coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Morning Drive. Happy feelings. Friday, November 1st.
This song, by the way, has been stuck in my head for the last week now.
Is that what you went to the show?
That's
exactly right.
So I know TD know about this, man. Just the grind. Like,
okay, okay. You're making everyone uncomfortable.
Let's find out. TD.
I feel uncomfortable right now.
Your thoughts on the musical selection coming back, Mr. Davenport?
Hey, man, that's right on time, man. That's the type of music you put on a fishnet tank top with a with a walking suit. Toothpick in your mouth, a straw hat, and you keep it going.
Fishnet tank top. Saw a lot of those on Saturday, by the way.
Oh, man.
So from fishnet tank tops to Kyle Allen, how does Dean Pease get after and cause this guy to have a rough 3 hours on Sunday?
I think anytime you're facing the Panthers, whether it's Cam Newton or Kyle Allen, the best thing to do is find out some type of way to corral Christian McCaffrey. But, I mean, when you look at Kyle Allen, he's your typical rhythmic pocket passer. So really what they need is Jeffrey Simmons collapsing that interior pocket, Harold Landry and Cameron Wake coming off the edge to marry that together with press coverage on the outside. You want to do everything you can to knock the rhythm of the passing game off. They like to do a lot of quick passes, slants, and screens and those type of things to Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. So you got to get on them before they can get the ball in their hands and knock that timing off.
TD, you mentioned Jeffrey Simmons, and D-Mace brought this up a couple of days ago on the show. If you think he's good now, wait till he gets a full off season of truly working out in the program, the weights, the nutrition, the dietary, everything. Just, I mean, I know it's a very small sample size, and he's been very good. But when you factor in what D-Mace brought up with an off season to prepare, what is the ceiling on this guy?
Well, I think you saw the ceiling on him before you got down here, and I saw it too, and that's Fletcher Cox, man. That's the player that he really reminds me of, and there's multiple reasons why I say that. Now, Fletcher, his footwork is better than Simmons. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say he is Fletcher Cox, but the way that they could both impact the passer as a D-tackle and defensive end, but then also when you combine the size, strength, agility, I mean, you see Simmons, he can chase down screens, too. So that's something I think that, you know, is going to stand out once you start to see him play more. So I think really the ceiling is that. And it's not all about sacks, you know, because people look at Fletcher Cox and they'll look at Simmons throughout his college career. I think he had, what, 4 sacks or something like that. And they'll say, oh, well, how could it be a pass rusher? Look, the point is that dude impacts the quarterback. And that's what you need out of a guy that's working on the interior.
Yeah, Teron, his body type reminds me of Ndamukong Suh. Maybe I just, because he happened to be in town last weekend, and I see him standing on the field, and I go, oh, that guy reminds me of that guy. I'm not saying he's going to end up that type of player. The way they're built reminds me, the way he's built reminds me of Ndamukong Suh. On the other side of this, they should have a far better matchup, the Titans, as far as the offensive line and the running game between the tackles. And San Francisco last week, I'm not trying to compare the Titans to the Niners because the Niners are obviously playing elite-level football right now, but the Niners went up and down the field. They gashed Carolina in the running game. There should be space for Derrick Henry to make plays this week, right?
Yeah, there should definitely be space, and the Panthers are giving up 135 on the ground. So, yeah, there's definitely an opportunity to run the football. I talked to Derrick Henry this week, and his focus is on ball security. He's still upset about that fumble where he need the ball out of his own hands. So he'll get opportunities, though. And I actually talked to Arthur Smith yesterday just about getting Derrick Henry downhill into that alley. So expect to see that, too. And if they could do that, you know, it's going to be good things. But, man, whenever you have a defense that has 59 in the middle of it, he's going to smell plays out. And he's going to be able to track it down. So Henry's going to have to get that stiff arm going and break that tackle at the second level.
Now, looking at this offense from a passing standpoint, TD, the last couple of weeks with Tannehill. You know, when Tannehill became the starter, this offense from a passing standpoint, the first week it looked great. Then last week, obviously, they were playing a team that we thought they could throw the ball against, and they didn't do as well. And with talking with them, what do you think the problem is? Because I enjoy watching the All 22 from a coaching standpoint. And, I mean, there could be blame all around from the coaching staff, because it seems like, you know, Arthur Smith runs the same plays over and over again, or the receivers, them not being able to consistently get off a tight coverage, or the line or Tannehill. What do you think has been the problem why this offense from a passing standpoint has been so inconsistent?
I think you just hit all three of them. The protection, the receivers getting free, you know, that's not happening. But I think last week, a lot of it was game plan, you know, where you had more 13 personnel. They were using empty out of 13 personnel. But they liked the matchups of their tight ends against the Bucs. And that's why you saw, I think it was 12 passes go to Ferkser and Smith. Now, they caught 9 of them. But I think that was last week was it almost just from talking to Arthur Smith, it seemed more like game plan where they wanted to go to that matchup with their tight ends against the safeties and linebackers. But overall, I mean, it's receivers, you know, they have to get open a little bit better, you know. But then there's just I don't know. The play design, there's certain things that look good about it, but sometimes you look at it and you just say, okay, what were they trying to accomplish here? Like, was this route working off of this one? Like, what was it? So it's a mixture of all of them, in my opinion.
TD, good stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
No problem. You guys take it easy.
You got it. Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com.
And that's what I'm trying to, you know, as I watch these games after they've completed, in trying to pull out a few plays for the dissection, I don't want to put a lot of blame on the quarterback. I don't want to put all the blame on the offensive line, the receivers. I think it's just a collection of everything.
And the coordinator.
Yeah, and I think that I don't think Arthur Smith, and it might be because he really doesn't trust the offense that they can handle maybe a little bit more creativity in the offense, because it seems like they're running the same stuff. And I know a lot of teams do that, but other teams, when they go about it different and it looks creative. Yeah. And I think Arthur, kind of like Mike was Vrabel last year, he's learning on the fly. So I'm going to give him some leeway in regards to that. I'm not going to, you know, argue with him about run calls, because my thing is, like I've always said, if the offensive line is doing their job, then we can call the same run play over and over again, and we'll at least get a yard or two.
And we like that he sticks with it.
Exactly. Like, and I like that he's committed to the run. Mm-hmm. But in the passing game, it just seems like he's not being creative. I don't know if he doesn't trust the offensive line,
yes,
the quarterback, or the receivers,
yes. Yes.
Or he's still learning on the fly to me.
Yeah, I think it's all four. I mean, the offensive line's not good.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed quarterbacks. The receivers are not getting off and creating separation and finishing plays. And the coordinator feels like he's calling a fairly simple and predictable offense.
But they do. But the receivers, so they together, do it at times. You know,
right. And then Tannehill looks great one game. Marcus looks great one game. Looks terrible the next game. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is good against Atlanta and against the Chargers, but not in any other game. Like it's all like that. And the great players, the great teams, they eliminate those inconsistencies.
NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with a kickoff from 7 to 9:30, followed by the NFL pregame show. I'll be filling in for Jared Stillman this week alongside Floyd Reese and Chris Sanders, live from the George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the game.
You're going to have to tune in and listen to that.
I'll make sure I listen.
I'm going to check that out. In?
It's Forever Titan, Chris Sanders, right? I got to make sure I get that part right.
I don't know what it is.
Are you allowed? That's right, Forever Titan.
Because it won't be Morning Drive, are you still allowed to take shots at hotcakes?
No, because that's
more of a professional.
That is his territory.
It's his show.
I am filling in for him.
I got a bone. Not really a bone to pick SpongeBob. I like SpongeBob, man. That's my guy. That's my guy, man. Because so did y'all see the picture?
People don't know. Yeah. We have not. Yeah. I have not.
We gotta talk. Y'all hadn't seen the Halloween picture.
So
oh my goodness.
SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs is apparently the new name of the afternoon show.
Exactly.
On the channel.
Yes, so we call it SpongeBob Mr. Krabs.
The NFL pregame show brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House.
D-Mace. Squidward, where's my money?
D-Mace has a bone to pick next on Morning Drive.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. All right, let me tell you guys about Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. It's cold. It got cold like in one day. Right, it was like 68 yesterday morning. The temperature closed at like 40 something last night. I know it's going to warm up a little bit today, but it's still the cold weather's coming, and that means your house is going to be working overtime to keep your family warm and cozy inside that house. And we all know what that means. It means you need to have a healthy furnace or heater or AC unit or whatever it is that you've got in your house that keeps your house warm. You need to make sure it's healthy. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling are the people you need to talk to. Locally owned, proud sponsors of Smashville Live. And over two decades of experience in Middle Tennessee. They know that before the big freeze comes, whenever that first real cold stretch of weather comes, you know you always have it in the wintertime here in Nashville, make sure you get your house checked up. Join the Comfort Club. You get two checkups a year every 6 months right around this time of year. This is the time you need to go get your house checked up. Call Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com. Check them out. They got a new office out on the west side there on Highway 100 south of Dixon to take care of all you folks out there so they can get to your house more efficiently, quicker, more scheduling times for you guys to get your house serviced. So make sure you check them out. SpringHillAC.com. Again, this is the time of year that you need to make sure everything is working correctly at your house because you don't want to have a costly repair when the weather gets really cold and all of a sudden, you know, pipes are freezing and this is happening and that's breaking and that's, you know, that you got to make sure everything's working well, and now's the time to do it. Comfort Club, join it now. Get your house checked out now. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, we're not using the other guys anymore. SpringHillAC.com is the website. SpringHillAC.com.
Oh. There's a pineapple under the sea.
Who lives in the wholesaling studios? SpongeBob Stillman. SpongeBob. All right, I didn't know. But you have a bone to pick. Good job, Marquise.
Well done, yes. Marquise.
All right. Everyone understands that, you know, we like to, you know, pick at SpongeBob, a.k.a. Stillman.
Hotcakes.
A.k.a. Hotcakes. A.k.a.
The human frat paddle.
Yeah, the human frat paddle. Whatever else you want to call them. A.k.a. Chicken.
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda.
Not Pablo Sandoval.
But we're taking some jabs at him yesterday. You know, all fun the other day. But then yesterday, it being Halloween, one Jarrett, a.k.a. SpongeBob, chose to wear a panda suit yesterday.
Can you tell everybody why he's called SpongeBob?
Yeah,
he's
shaped like SpongeBob. I say he's shaped like SpongeBob.
He's got a rectangular frame.
Yeah, a rectangular frame. And I don't know if there's anything anybody can do about it.
He's all SpongeBob. Upper body.
Yeah, he's all upper body square. He's all upper body.
You skip leg day every night.
Square.
He skipped leg day.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that always does bench press but never does any, you know, squats.
No, but, yesterday we were making fun of him because he had the wireless headphones with the sunglasses and walking in. And,
yeah, it was his Tom Brady
look. Tom Brady, a.k.a., you know, I don't Showing know, up the LeBron Fox James yeah. look.
He's trying to be an athlete walking into a game.
So, I guess Stillman took that, and he wanted to one-up himself. And he did it. I think he did it because of us. So yesterday,
we pay rent in his head.
Exactly.
We are
so
in his
yesterday
head.
He chose we to dress rent. Up as a panda. And him dressing up a panda is cool because it's Halloween. But he takes the same exact picture of him walking in with wireless headphones with a panda suit on. But that's not the kicker. Here's the kicker, people. He walks in.
Never trust a kicker.
And here's the caption. He has his pumpkin, you know, his pumpkin candy thing in his hand, you know, with his sunglasses on. He doesn't have duck lips this time. I think he did
that
on purpose.
Thank God.
He did that because his lips are kind of puckered
in.
It
made me so uncomfortable looking at that.
I think he did that on purpose. He didn't want to have the duck lips. So the caption is, have you ever seen a panda with the fireball shades? Fireball shades. Okay, I get it. Fireball. Stunting is a habit. That's where I have a problem.
Hmm.
That's the big problem. And people, you're saying, well, what's – he says stunting is a habit.
He spelled the word correctly.
He spelled it correctly and everything.
According to the English language.
But it's not stunting. It's not ing. If you want to be cool, it's stunting. Drop the G, just I-N.
And stunting. And stunting was a thing like in 1999.
Yeah, stunting. Right. Yeah, we stunting.
It's a David Banner
song. You know, yeah. We stunting on them fools, you know.
Right. Low-key stunt.
We doing things that other people ain't doing.
Stunting like my daddy, Lil Wayne.
Well, yes, he is doing things that others are not doing because nobody's walking around with a panda suit on and sunglasses with wireless headphones, okay?
Shining, beaming, glossing, big time. He is.
We have labeled him the old Valley Girl.
Because there's, like, you see the vocabulary in the tweets where he'll tweet, holy smokes, goodness gracious. Like, there's a lot of 1970 vocabulary in his Twitter game.
See, I don't mind those. Like jeepers, creepers. Like, I don't mind those. Like, I don't mind the old, kind of like the old school phrases. It's the like, comma, the Preds, like, have this game totally wrapped up, like, after 10 minutes, like, that's the Valley Girl to me. Like, that's the part that bothers me with his Twitter account. I enjoy his Twitter account.
Oh, then he has P.S. Hi to the morning show. He tagged Marquise, myself, Nick, and Braden. So
we are in his head. We are in his head.
We own real estate in his brain.
Here's what I will say. I would 100 times out of 100 much rather see Stillman in a panda costume than topless on the beach.
Well, we've already seen that.
Thank God. I'm not going to see it again. I want the panda suit. The panda suit's fun. I think the panda suit's a fun look. I think it's fun.
You know what? Once again, who's winning?
Stillman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can we?
And I love it, too. I love it.
Can we get him in a rap video?
Is he winning or winning?
He's winning. According to him, he's winning. ING.
So you
he's
guys,
not winning.
Has the public seen the Ryan Porth rap video?
Oh, my goodness.
From high school?
I hope not.
Here's what I want. I don't know if the public has seen that. I'm not really sure if I'm allowed to talk about it, frankly, but I've already done it.
You don't want to watch it. I'm just going to let you guys know.
You don't know about this video, huh?
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah, I just declined comment.
It's so bad you got to see it. But I think what I want is I want Stillman to do an interpretation of the video. That's what I want.
Oh, wow.
What was the song that Porth did? It was
Snap Your Fingers, Little John and Eastside Boys.
Yeah. And so he did a lip sync like music video to it, right?
Yes, in various different jerseys.
With a hat on sideways. It was not good.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
He's in high school.
Look, I'm going to say it. It's the whitest thing I've ever saw in my life.
Yeah, you're totally accurate.
And he's in high school, and we all do stupid things when we're in high school. Like, I get it. I was in Young Life with a bunch of guys doing Backstreet Boys dances, okay? Like, everybody does stupid stuff when you're in high school. So I'm not going to hate on him too much for that. I just want to see Stillman reenact the video.
Is it safe to say that Stillman is basically like a character on Clueless?
Yeah, I mean, he's Alicia Silverstone mixed with Floyd Reese.
Oh, wow. Shaped like SpongeBob.
The Preds, have this game totally, wrapped up. Like, that tweet didn't last long.
Stillman, buddy, we love you, man.
We do.
We do. And the only reason we pick with you because we love you. If we didn't pick with you, we wouldn't.
He's trying to grow that Instagram game.
Yeah, he's trying to grow it.
He's also been pushing. That's the other thing.
Trying to be an influencer.
He's the Instagram influencer.
But here's the thing, though. Stillman, piece of advice. You beg for people to follow your gram so much. It's just too obvious. Like, you're too thirsty, man. Like, you got
to... And let it happen naturally.
He has to be that way. You just got to let it happen, man.
In his world, he has to be that way, man.
Just let it happen. You got a radio
show. The thirsty guy don't get the water, man.
Is that what they call Instagram? The gram?
I don't know.
The gram.
I don't know.
No, I don't roll in the Instagram.
The thirsty guy gets the water. If you ain't acting like you ain't thirsty, you ain't going to get the water.
Yeah, but if you're too thirsty, none of the animals are going to come hang out with you.
Not even the other pandas?
The other pandas. Listen, we already, first of all, if you're trying to meet a mate, panda's not the right one to dress up. Like, can you imagine?
Troy went off on them too yesterday.
And what's so funny about pandas is, like, there'll be two pandas sitting in a cage in China somewhere, right? And they know it's an endangered species. And I think Robin Williams used to do a really great bit on this where he's like, you are the last of my kind, and I still will not hook up with you. Like, you're... Our entire species survival depends on you and I mating right now. No, I'm not interested. That's the way pandas think. It's very strange.
Oh, man. Well, Stillman, I guess.
Pick a different animal.
Yeah, pick a different. Hey, y'all want to hear a joke right quick?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, the whole show today has been a joke, so why not? Why stop now?
Okay. What did the ghost say to the bartender?
Oh, God.
I have no idea.
You got any booze?
You realize that you're not allowed to rip on Stillman ever again.
That's a complete dad
for
joke.
For saying stunting.
That was a dad joke if I ever heard one on the show.
That's worse than stunting.
Oh, man, that was so funny.
Boy, that was hilarious.
Wow.
No, just looking at y'all face, y'all like, okay. Hey, tell that to the kids, man. It's the ultimate dad joke.
Guy walks into a bar. Ouch.
Well, what? Titans underscore Walker tweets us and he says, Stillman is 102.5's Flavor Flav.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Bad. Come on. Flavor Flav was pretty bad.
That's Stillman, though.
What was wrong with Flavor Flav?
Yeah, nothing wrong with Flavor Flav. Yeah.
He's Flavor with a ER.
Yeah, he Flavor.
Flavor Flav.
All right, coming up next, we will kick off the third hour of the show, try to make you some money in the world of football. Our buddy Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com joins us next.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.